If you want to turn to your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 11, verse 23, 24, I want to talk to you about faith for meeting your financial needs. And let's go over to that text and just talk about basically the faith versus scripture that we use around here. And of course, Jesus, you know, he's the one that said these things. It's not us, it's Jesus who spoke these words. He says, for verily I say to you, or, you know, truly, for verily I say to you that whosoever shall say, everyone say, say, unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. A question I want to ask you is, that you should answer yourself, is what is your heart? It's not talking about your physical pump on the inside. It's not your heart is your spirit. Your spirit. So you're when you're believing with your heart, you're not believing with your feelings. You're not believing with your thoughts, your imagination, your own, but you could use that in conjunction with the spirit in the word. But when he says believing with the heart, it means believing without natural sense knowledge. That's the term. Everyone say believing with the heart means believing without sense knowledge. So that means you're not going to use, you know, you're going to believe something, what it doesn't indicate in the natural, that you don't have it. You're going to believe the word instead of what you see. So it says, but shall believe that those things which he said, in other words, what you say with your heart without sense, knowledge, evidence, which is based on the word. Now, this is a hard thing to do when you're broke and you need to pay your bills. But shall believe with those things which he said, that that is what you say, he shall that come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. So this Bible verse is talking about you saying something. In other words, you have to line up your words with what you're believing, not what you're seeing. You might be looking at your bank statement. I was working on my app this afternoon on my app. There was something wrong with my app. You know your phone app on for your banking. Well, I worked on that for 2 hours. It seemed something was wrong with it. Anyway, it was supposed to be a simple thing. It went for 2 hours. And I'm glad I did my message first. But, you know, anyways, I was trying to tie that up with what I was going to do here, say here. But you might be looking at your app and it says you don't have very much money. But the Bible says he meets all your needs. And you have to go with what the Bible says. I'm going to show you some things. There's some spiritual knowledge and natural knowledge. So just because you said God supplies you all you need doesn't mean you have to go and get a credit card and bless yourself. You know, there's a saying around my office, act your wage. That means stay within your budget. Stay with a budget. You should all have a budget. I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to lift your hands up. Don't lift your hands because you don't want to embarrass yourself. Who has a budget here? I told you don't lift your hands up. Who doesn't have a budget? Don't have to lift your hands either. So I want to ask you a question. So if you believe in God, you need to understand some things. You need to live by faith, but also don't live on presumption or foolishness. So I'm a practical man. I have faith, but I don't, you know, I'm going to show you something. Can I show you something? Yeah, I'll show you something. I want to show you something. Okay, so let me read that again. Mark 11, 23, and I'm going to add 24 because 24 talks about prayer. But 23 talks about faith itself. But it talks about prayer there, how it works there, verse 24. For verily I say to you, Jesus is talking, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. That's Jesus talking. Verse 24, therefore, because verse 23 is a faith principle, therefore I say to you that what things soever you desire when you pray, when you do what it says in verse 24, when you believe that, when you pray, believe that you receive them. That is, you're receiving something before you have it. Believe that you have it before you even have it. Believe it, and you shall have them. Shall is future tense. Eventually, you're going to get it. So when you're believing something, you might not have it right now, but you're believing you will have it because you said it. Not based on natural, but based on the Bible. Okay, sometimes you have to take some time to work on things. And when you believe in God for money, it has to go through some channels of making sure people, like, you know, Brother Hagin taught me. When I say taught me, taught all of Rama's students. He says, when you believe in God for finances, it takes time because God works through people. He doesn't rain down money from heaven. He's not a counterfeiter. He has to work through his people to bring it to you. Praise God. I mean, I could go home right now. You just got a lot of messages right now on that. Amen. Practical. So here's what I want to propose to you tonight, among many things. And one thing I want to get across to you, and that is that faith will work by saying. Faith will work by saying. Everyone say this to me with me. Faith will work by saying. In other words, faith is released in words. Faith, the promises of God are word activated. Word activated. You have to say something. You tell your phone, hey Siri. Can you call the Lord for me?
Calling Dr. Lawrence and Emma Key Work.
Call the wrong guy. So anyway, that's how faith works. Is when you speak it, it goes into effect. So you don't have to pray, you know, I'm not talking about religiously pray, kneel down, close your eyes, lift your hands. You don't have to, when we say pray, we kind of think about it a certain way, you know, bow your head, fold your hands, and close your eyes, squint really hard. And faith doesn't work because you squint your eyes and fold your hands, or kneel down or stand up. Faith works if you're in the playground standing upside down. It works anyway, just long as you say it, right? So faith will work by saying, not only by praying. I want to show you some things here. So I want to give you some quotations I picked out from Proverbs for you to just chew on some scriptures here. It says, Proverbs 22:7. Just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is the servant of the lender. In other words, you sign on the dotted line and Dodge has you for a while. You know, when you borrow somebody from somebody, some company, they basically are going to rule over you for that money. You're tied to them. As long as you spend that money, you pay that back. Let me show you something else. Proverbs 10:15. The wealth of the rich is their fortress. The poverty of the poor is their destruction. Now, you don't want to remain poor forever. If you can help it, I think most of you, 99.9 of you can help it. You don't have to be poor. That means do without. Are you gone home? Okay, he's so quiet out there. Okay, rich, you know, they have so much protection and they have so much strength in their wealth, but poor people, it's your destruction. You're going down. You don't have anything. You can't even own yourself. You know, those Israelites were owned by the Pharaoh. They didn't own even their own bodies. Here's another proverb. Proverbs 13:7. Some who are poor pretend to be rich. Do we have those in here? Okay, don't lift your hand right now. There are some poor people who pretend to be rich, while others are rich pretend to be poor. And I was listening to someone speak on this. You know, just because you look like you're doing good doesn't mean you are. You should dress the best you could all the time anyway. But I'm saying just don't pretend. We want to have it real. Right? We want to have enough to make pay our bills and have extra money. We can go to Florida. We want that. If you want to go to Florida. I don't want to go to Florida. I don't really care about going to Florida. It's not my aim to go to Florida. I'll pick something else. Maybe you like something else. So, let's go to 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Money is not evil. It's when you love it so much that it takes you places. That's what's evil about it. Right? So money is not evil. You can take money and make good out of it. Right? Can you think about what $3 million will do for you? Right? What good would you do? Okay. Are you guys nervous or something? Because this is real stuff here. I don't want you to be scared. I'm trying to teach you stuff that you seem to be. Anyway, Proverbs 10:22. This is something that somebody quotes to me all the time. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich. Is that in the Bible? And he adds no sorrow with it. I was reading that when God blesses you, you hardly work for something, you just get it. Like when God took the Israelites and brought them to that promised land and they started defeating those enemies, he said, I'm going to give you houses that you never built. I'm going to give you land you never even worked on, vineyards you never even planted. You know, that's the kind of blessing that God has for us. And that's in the Bible. Read your Bible, people. Read your Bible. Don't get mad at me because I'm saying these things. You read your Bible because I'm trying to teach you to not, you don't have to be poor. You can, even if you don't have anything, you can have something if you believe God. God says, I'll give seed to the sower. He didn't say, I'll just give seed to anybody. Brother Hagin, you said, to a dummy. Now, you have to understand that. Don't give seed to anybody, a fool. That's in the Bible, right? Because a fool will just do anything with it. But you give someone who has some thought in his life, and he knows what he's going to do, he's a planner, and God will give that person that which will be a blessing to him and his community, in the church and so on. And he'll be a blessing to people, and he'll be a blessing to himself. So, but we have to be a planter, a sower, if we want that to happen to our lives. I remember sitting in church one time, I didn't have anything. I said, Lord, I promised to be a sower. He said, you'll give seed to the sower. I need seed, and I'll be a sower. So I'm signing up right now. I'm in church. I'm signing up. I want to be a sower. And when you give me money, I'm going to give it. I'm going to plant some of it. But when it did come, I didn't want to give it. I remember told you a story about $1,000 came to me, and another $1,000. And the Lord said to me, "You said you're going to give me some of that and plant it into my kingdom." And I said, "Oh, yeah." That's how I got it. Now, the Lord, there's not going to be anything bad about it when God blesses you. You know, God's blessed me. I was thinking about this morning. I told my wife, I said, "You know what? I walked out of that jail over here. Did you know that there's a jail over here? How many of you know there's a jail here? Just over here. You can run there in 15 minutes. It's over on Court Street, if you don't know where it is. That used to be my home once in a while. So I come, I walk out of there at 7 o'clock in the morning. They give me my belongings, give me a little my wallet. There's actually nothing in there. Maybe my ID or a couple pieces of paper. And they give me my clothes. And I walked across in the morning, the cool of the morning, and I didn't know where I was going. I didn't have any. I couldn't go back home because I had so much trouble at home, so much destruction. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't have any family here. I didn't have a mom and dad here. I didn't have any uncles or aunts. I didn't know any native person that I could relate to. I didn't know if First Nations people live here. This is talking about 50 years ago. Maybe more than that, no. I walked out of there. I was just a young teenager. I didn't know where I was going. Where I was going to live. Where I was going to sleep. Had no clothes. Just what I had on. I didn't know where I was going to go. I didn't have any kind of money. I didn't have an education. I didn't have any kind of job skills to market myself, to find a job. And I lived over here on the Cumberland Street, running with the gang, stealing food from Safeway or Click or something, or Bologna, and eating some bread, going down the culvert and eating their food and drinking wine with my uncle. Fast forward that. Today, I went through my education. I went through schooling. I got job skills. I had different kind of jobs. I own a house. Everything I have, I own. Nothing is borrowed. I own everything. I don't own MasterCard. I don't own Visa. This church is paid off that I started, that we all worked on. We don't owe any money on this church, on this property. The Lord maketh thee rich and adds no sorrow to it. You know, I'm not bragging on myself, but I'm saying, you know, God will bless you. I mean, I just finished telling you, I got out of the street. I was just a young man, had nothing. I'm telling you, I paid off all my stuff. I don't owe anybody anything. I have a ministry. I got two ministries, Faith City Church, Spirit of Life. We don't owe anybody anything. Nothing. We got money coming in. I got money coming in. If I want to go buy a brand new car today, I just go to the parking lot and buy any kind of car I want. If I want to, but I don't want to. I want to, you know, they say your money is your power, so I like to have some kind of power, at least some Bible says that. You know? I want to show you something. Can I show you something? Because the Lord will show you and help you. You know, I thank God every day. I was in my room today. I prayed. I just lift up my hands and said, "Thank you, God, for paying off my house. Thank you, God, for paying off my vehicle. I got lots of socks." Amen. I got a lot of socks. My wife said, "I've never seen anybody with so much socks. You can't even close your drawers. You got suits. I got a bunch of suits in my house and there." I got a bunch of sweaters I never wear. I got sweaters everywhere. You know? So I have access. I only wear one or two of those sweaters. If you want a sweater, I'll give you one. And you'll be blessed. You'll be so full of the Holy Ghost when you put it on. You know? So let me just say, I want to introduce the introduction again. I quoted some things for you, told you a little bit of my story. It's not, God will help you with different things. You know, God will take, it'll take time for some things, but you'll get out of it. I know you'll have a job, you'll have a house. Every one of you will have a house. Why? Because God said it. And when I was in the bathroom one time with a bunch of ministers, people say anything to you, even Christians. They'll tell you you're not gonna make it, or you don't believe them. Believe the Bible. So many people don't have faith in God meeting their needs, especially when they're facing financial pressures. Some of us, we went through financial pressures. Many people can't meet even their basic needs. You know, to live in good life, I was reading when I was taking psychology, they said there's certain things people need. You need basic needs. You need at least a place to stay. You need water, you need food to survive. That's a very basic need. You need you just not only need a place to sleep, but you need a place of safety. That somebody's not gonna steal your stuff. When I lived in the Salvation Army, I had to tie myself up, my stuff to myself, so that some people don't steal it from me. I lived in the Salvation Army. I know what it's like to not have anything. I walked down the streets. I wanted to go to downtown, didn't have enough money to get on the bus. I walked downtown to the place to find jobs. I could walk right back. I was so tired, didn't have any food. I'm so happy to get back to the Sal Yan because I can go to sleep. But they didn't let you sleep a certain hours. You had to go in at a certain time there. So many are at a place right now, they don't even meet their basic needs. Either people need to look at their financial practices, and also they need to look about what the Bible says about meeting your needs. And we don't really have to pray about money. God, for meet your needs, you don't have to pray about it. You just see what the Bible says and say, thank you, Father. You said you meet my needs, and I claim this according to your word. I claim a house. I claim whatever I need. If I need to travel somewhere, I claim that because the Bible says it. You can do that. Say it. Thank God I have it. Now, people around you will think you're crazy if you do this, but this is what Jesus said. Didn't Jesus say you'll have what you say? That's what he said in there. So you can just say it. If God says something, then say it. It belongs to me. Thank you, Lord. It's mine. You don't have to cry to anybody. Fast about it. Pray 10 days about it. Just claim it according to the Word of God. Just say, according to the Word of God, he meets my needs. I'm going to act like it's so. It's coming. They say, where's your car? Oh, it's in the garage. Where's your garage? It's coming. It's like Dr. Cho, you know, Dr. Yonggi Cho. I heard him speaking the other day. Is he still alive? I don't know if he's still alive. He's gone now. Dr. David Cho. He said, you know, back in Korea, in the wartime, and everybody was poor, owning a bicycle was like you're rich. He said to the people, you find in the Bible where it says different things, and he said, I claim this Bible, this bicycle in the name of Jesus, you know, I receive it, I have it now. Then he says to the people, I have a bicycle, I have a bike. They're all excited. Let's go and see this bike. They come to his house. Where's your bike? He said, it's in here. And it's in here, in your heart. I receive it in my heart. It's coming. Amen? God will download that on you. So anyway, so the question is, do we need to pray about finances? No, you don't have to. Do you wonder why God doesn't seem to, send you money right away, give you something right away? You ever wonder why? That's a question I have, but you don't have to answer it now. We'll answer that for you. God isn't obligated to supply your stupidity and your disobedience and your financial recklessness. He doesn't have to give you things if you're going to be reckless about money and be stupid about it and just do whatever you want. He's not obligated to do it. We have to think right about these things, right? So let's go to the first thing we want to tell you. We'll start. Psalm 23:1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall want." That's what the Bible says, the King James, "I shall not want." He says, "I have," the New Living says, "I have all that I need." So we're living right now, you and I are living in the 23rd Psalm. Jesus Christ, the Lord, our Savior, He's our shepherd. And He says, because He's your shepherd, He'll meet every one of your needs. He's the supplier. And the whole 23rd Psalm, read it, that belongs to you. God doesn't supply, well, God does supply all our needs. In Philippians 4:19, I want to tell you about the context in Philippians 4:19. How many of you remember Philippians 4:19? It reads like this. Philippians 4:19, I'm reading the New Living Translation. "And the same God who takes care of me," Paul is talking to them, "will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." If you're in Christ Jesus, if you're born again, He will supply every one of your needs. Now, Paul is talking to these people because they were giving to him, sowing into his ministry, sowing into the kingdom of God. He said, "God's because you're my partner." In chapter, you read chapter 1, he said, "You're my partners, I pray for you," and so on. And Philippians 4:15, he says, "You meet my financial needs in a time when no one else did. But God will supply your needs," he says. So Philippians 4:19 in context is when you give your part of your money or something to God and say, "Here's for your kingdom," and God said, "I'll multiply that back to you." He doesn't give you back the same thing, but He'll multiply whatever you give Him, He'll multiply it back to you. That's how God is. "And the same God who takes care of me," He says, "will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which have been given to me in Christ Jesus." God promises to take care of all of His children, all His needs, when you give to His things that He cares about. That's being a partner with God, working what He wants to do. When I was in college, the government there, they called it the manpower back then. I applied for some money there to go to school. So they would give me a check once a month. I'd have a budget there. And I went to school. And so when I got born again in the 80s, I came to church. I had only so much money, and I decided I'm going to give a certain portion of my money to God, to His work in that church that I was. I started giving $5 a week. That's all I could afford out of my money. I give $5 a week. That's a lot of money for some people. $20 for some people here is a lot of money. $50 for some is a lot of money. $100 is lots of money. $1,000 for some is a lot of money for them. You work according to your budget. But there's sometimes God tells you to get out of that budget and give more than your budget. If you want to break up to another level when you have enough faith. Don't do it just to try it. Do it when you have faith. Understand? So you start doing these things by faith. Not because, I tell a sad story here that we're going down. If you don't give money, we're going down. Then you need to tell me, go down. Because I'm not going down with you. That's true. I told one guy, I said, why should I give you money? You're going down anyway. My $500 is not going to save you in your ministry. It's funny, you know. It's like somebody coming to you and they spend all their money. They say, can you give me some money? I said, no. We're not giving you no money. You're going to do the same thing you did last time. People will give to people who are actually doing good because they know they're going to do good with it. You know, when I say, well, I have all my needs, I say, I'll have all my needs. People say, the devil will tell me, what if no one gives you anything again? I said, well, the Lord knows what I need. It's not because, people do what they want to do. I sow money. I give money away to people that I feel that God wants me to give money to. So I've learned this. So I came to church, and I not only gave my tithe off my government money, but also gave extra money to sow. I gave tithe and I gave offering. I've been doing that since I've been born again. And I'm not an exorbitant person. I don't just go buy all these things. I buy what I need, where my faith is at. I'm at my faith. You're at your faith. I'm not going to go over my faith and to impress you and have a lot of debt and have a lot of pressure because I want to show you how great I am. No, I stay where my faith is at. So I can sleep at peace at night. But I don't worry about anything going down, if Carney is going to be the next prime minister or Paulie, if I'm not worried about it. He supplies according to his riches and glory, not because of the liberal government or the conservative government is coming in. It's because of Jesus' riches and glory. So I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Okay, so watch this. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. I know I'm going really slow. But I know some of you are slow. But I work according to who I'm with. Some of you are fast, but you'll have to be patient. Amen. Ernie, are you still slow or fast? You're good? Okay, you're just okay. Well, you decide after. We'll talk again. I love Ernie. I tease him a lot of times because I don't know if he's mad at me or not, but he eats a lot of chicken. And I'm jealous. Anyway, okay. Genesis 17, did you find that? When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. He said, I am El Shaddai, the Almighty God. Almighty God, serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. That's God showing up. God told Abraham he's Almighty God. And that word is translated as Almighty God is El Shaddai. That the original language is I'm God Almighty, or I'm El Shaddai, which is a Hebrew word, which means I'm the God who's more than enough. He appeared to Abraham and he says, I'm the God who's more than enough. I'm just not enough, but I'm more than enough. He told Abraham, you know, I remember Brother Hagin relating a story to us back there in school and years before that even. He says, when the Lord appeared to him in one of the visions that he had with Jesus, he said that the Lord was trying to lead him in some way, but he wasn't really connecting with the Lord. Like some of us sometimes, we don't know if God's talking to us. And in John 10:10, he says, the thief, that's the devil, he comes to steal, to kill and destroy. And Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. The word life in that verse of scripture is Zoe, Z-O-E, Zoe, which is the God kind and God type of life. God kind. He said that they might have it more abundantly. God says, I'm going to give you Zoe life, since you'll have it more abundantly. Not just abundantly, but more abundantly. He said, I am El Shaddai. That's the kind of God you serve. He's not a, he said, I'm not a cheapskate. Abundantly means rich. Abundant. Look up the word abundant. It means more than enough. Rich. Full supply it means. Abundant means full supply. But the devil has stolen from the church as people through persecution, through pressures of life. If you look at the fourth chapter there, some people, you know, the devil gives them persecution and they get out of life. Like maybe some of your family is putting pressure on you. If you come to this church, like our church, or I believe this way, they put pressure on you. That's not true. And they don't know people like me who God brought out from the junk heap. People like you. And God brought you into a place of abundance. So God showed Abraham that he's a provider, that he's our Jehovah Jireh. That's what he says, our divine supplier. So if you're a child of God by faith, in like Abraham, it says here, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29. Watch this, it says here. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ. That's you, talking about you and me. All who have been united with Jesus Christ, with Christ in baptism, that's when the Holy Spirit took you and baptized you into the body of Christ. That's not water baptism he's talking about here. And baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer a Jew or Gentile, slave or free, made male or female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 29, and now you belong to Christ. You are true children of Abraham. You are heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Not only when God spoke to Abraham, that belonged to you too. He's the same God. So we can say that, you know, Jesus is he's our shepherd. I'll have all I need in life, but God says, I'm more than enough. The thief comes not for to steal, kill, destroy, but I've come that you might have life, life more abundantly. That's why I have lots of socks. I have faith. One thing I know, I have faith for socks. My wife says, you know, I heard your stories. You never had socks as a kid. That's why I got a lot of socks now. Amen. I used to walk down the Cumberland Street. Even as a student, I used to walk and see people. When I was a kid, I used to wish my dad had a car. Oh, I wish my dad could just pick me up. But I had to walk everywhere. And when I was living on the Cumberland, I used to walk up and down. I just dreamed of having a car. One day, I used to walk from Suckle Creek to the town from Long Lake back to Suckle Creek. He said, I wish my dad would have had a car. I wish I had a car. So when I was 14, 15 years old, I decided I'm going to get a license and maybe one day I'll get a car. And so I hitchhiked to Geraldton, which is about 21 miles, 32 kilometers. Hitchhike, and I wrote an exam and I got my license, my beginner's license. But I didn't have a car. So I started stealing cars to learn how to drive. Don't try that. And then I went to the priest. I said, can I borrow your car? The guy says, okay, I'll show you how to drive a car. So he showed me how to drive a stick shift. So somehow I didn't go for that license until I got into trouble, went to jail. I came here and I tried it again. And I paid money to somebody to help me out with a driver's education. But there's many ways to, they say, skin a cat. But I don't know why we would skin a cat. But anyways, I finally eventually got my license. But nobody helped me. My dad never helped me. My mother never helped me. No one helped me. I just worked and I just paid that. And I just wanted to do it. You know? So sometimes you have to do things yourself if you want it. You might be the first in your family. I was the first in my family to finish school. My dad never went to school. But he said, Roma, you go to school. So I listened to my dad at least there. So Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 says, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And if you read, the curse of the law is threefold. It's spiritual death, sickness or disease, number two, and number three, poverty or lack. It's found in this is found, the curse of the law. The law is the first five books of the Bible called the Pentateuch, which Moses wrote. He authored those five books. And in Deuteronomy 28, you know, the law could refer to the Ten Commandments, but that's not what, there's nothing there about the curse in there. But you read in Deuteronomy, it talks about the curse there. In the chapter 28, verses 15 to 68, there's enumerated for us all the curses that would come upon the people if they disobeyed God. But Jesus redeemed us from that curse when he came. But one of the curses is lack or poverty. And I understand something. When I was a kid, I was taken away, or some of us were taken away, and I went into captivity. And our people could not do anything about being taken away. We were taken away, brought into the government, placed in homes, some of us. And I read in the Deuteronomy 28, the curse includes your kids being taken away from you. And I was taken away. My parents were taken away. And I heard this from a former medicine man. He taught me this. He showed me this from the Bible way back. He said, when our people worship other gods, another nation will come and take your kids. That's exactly what it says in Deuteronomy 28. You read verse 15 to 68. When I come to God, I broke the curse. I'm no longer under that curse. And no longer under poverty. I said, I'll never beg for anything. I'll never go on EI if I don't have to. Okay? I went on EI once here only to help out the church, because I was going to lay off these guys. If I lay off these guys, I said, I'm going to go with you. I'll lay off myself with you. I did it for them too. So I did it not because I had to, because I wanted to. So I'm not a welfare recipient. I don't have to. I'll never have to be, because God is my supplier. So I believe in it 100%. Now, if I have to, I'll take something. But the Bible says I've been redeemed from lack and poverty. And I took it seriously, and I don't have anything. I don't owe any bank any money. But maybe one day I will, if I have to. But I don't have to right now. I like cash, if I have cash. So when I go to buy something, I usually take cash with me. I tell the people, I only deal in cash. Here's for McDonald's, I can take that. But anyway, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you my story, what I did and what I saw in my own life. So go back to Abraham here for a second. Are you okay with this stuff? Okay, a little bit longer? Can I go a little bit longer? Because if not, I'll shut down right now. Who wants to go home? Okay. I know the Habs are playing. Are you interested in the Habs tonight? No, you're not? Okay. Now, watch this. God showed Abraham that he's a provider, and we need to get that revelation over here. Let's go to, read it very quickly, 14 verses of Scripture. You don't mind I read the Bible with you? Genesis 22, 1 to 14. God showed Abraham he is a provider, that he's a God that's more than enough. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he said, I'm replied. Yeah, I'm here. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to a land of Moriah, and go there and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you. The next morning, Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and looked and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for fire and burnt offering and set out a place where God had told him about. On the third day of his journey, Abraham looked up and he saw the place from a distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told his servants. The boy and I will travel a little bit further and we will worship there. Then we will come back. We'll come right back. So Abraham placed the wood and the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulder, and while he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them walked together. Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father, yes, my son. Abraham replied, we have fire and the wood, the boy said, but we have, but where's the sheep for the burnt offering? Verse 8. God will provide sheep for the burnt offering, my son. Abraham answered, and they both walked together. That's a faith statement. He's speaking in faith. But God told him, you do your son here. He said, his son's supposed to be the burnt offering. It's going to be the offering. He's going to sacrifice here. And so they arrived at the place where God had told them to go, and Abraham built an altar and arranged wood on it, and he tied his son Isaac and laid upon an altar and at the top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, he said, yes, replied Abraham, I'm here. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for I know now that you truly fear God, for you have not withheld even your son, your only son. And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham named that place Yahweh Yireh, or we say Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide, or the Lord provide. To this day, the people still use that name as a proverb: on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. So God showed Abraham that he is a provider. And he revealed to him, I am Jehovah Jireh, I'm your provider. He showed him, like each one of us needs to get that revelation that God's my provider. When I moved in 1980, I moved to Kenora, Ontario. In the fall of 80, I went there. I believe it was 81 or 80, and I moved there. And I was kind of I had a bad, rough time in my life during that 70, 80, 79, 80, 77, 78. Had a hard time in my life there. And so I went to Kenora, and I'd rededicated my, I went back to serve the Lord. And I moved there, and I went to church there. I didn't know anybody in that city. I started going to church, find a church. I found a Pentecostal church. I went there. And in that church, the pastor would read, every Sunday they'd read Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithe into the storehouse and prove me now, so forth. You know, I said, I listened to it. I said, you know what, I'll do that. So I got on my knees and I said, Lord, here's what the pastor said in that church. He said, you prove me now. I want to prove you. I said, I owe this much money over here. And when I was back there drinking and doing all that stuff, doing all the crazy stuff, I incurred all this debt, all the visa and all the stuff, the Eaton's bill and all that stuff. It's all there. And the courts are after me because I have all the stuff. So I said, I want to tithe, but if I tithe, then the courts will say, where's the money? I said, I gave it to the church. So I said, I talked to the Lord. You ever talk to the Lord? You get to talk to him. So I talked to him. I said, I'm going to tell them if they bring me to the court, I'm going to say that I'm obeying God. So I'm going to prove you. So I didn't have to prove anything. If you deal with God honestly, he'll deal with you. Within a short few weeks, I had it all paid off. I had a friend of mine. He said, Roma, I heard you're working with people on the street there. I want to give you this stuff and whatever. I'm going to send you some money. I sent you some money in that package there, a big package of books. He sent it to me. He said, I want you to know I'm going to send that to you. That's for your ministry. Then he phoned me back the next week. He said, they should be coming in by the Greyhound, and there'll be an envelope in there. There's $300 in there, and I want to give that to you. I said, that's good. $300 for, when you need it is lots of money. As 1980, it was $300. So he calls me again that week. He says, Roma, I just feel led to give you some money. So I'm going to send you some money. I didn't ask him how much of money, but he sent me thousands of dollars. Me. I took that money. I paid off my debts. Because I got on my knees prior to that. I said, God, I want to prove you. You said, bring your tithe. I'm going to prove you. You said, it'll be more than enough money. I've had those experiences over and over again in my life, over and over. I proved God. No pastor told me to do it. There's no Kenneth Copeland telling me to do this. I didn't have Kenneth Hagin to tell me to do this. I did it between me and God. I didn't know Kenneth Hagin. I didn't know the Word of Faith. I didn't know Copeland. I didn't know anybody like that. It was the Bible and me and God. And God took me out of poverty, showed me one by one. And there was times I ran out of money, and I would have just enough money in my pocket. And I'd go somewhere and I want something so badly I could even taste it. The Lord said to me, I want you to give the rest of your money, all the best you got in your pocket, give it away. When you want to give the change, no, give the best you have. So I give the best I had. You know what? I always end up with more than enough. Never had to borrow anything, just had it. I'm telling you, this here is a real. It's real. If you're serious about it, if you're serious about giving to God, serving Him, He'll get you out of debt. But on the other hand, He's not going to give you stuff if you're going to be stupid and don't have a budget. You should have a budget that includes right on top of it God on top of it. Give Him what he has. You know, people ask me sometimes, Pastor, do you give the gross or the net? So if you give the net, the government takes whatever they want first, right? And then give you whatever. But God owns everything. He owns the net and the gross. Whatever. He owns everything. So I reason with myself that I'm going to give God first. Before I take all the taxes off, I'm going to give God first. That's what I've done. You can do what you want, your faith. But I said, I'm giving God first. Whatever it is, coming to me. So anyway, you know, it's your faith. There's no condemnation. It's, you have to follow what God tells you to do. I'm just telling you what I did. I've been stupid too, so at times. So anyway, when God starts blessing you, don't forget God. Because people who get rich all of a sudden, they get blessed. Oh, they're wonderful. They got a nice house now, nice car, and they stop coming to church. They don't go to church anymore. They just go to vacation. And when they go to vacation, they don't ever attend church. They don't find a church. When I went to vacationing in the South, I wouldn't find church on Sunday. Just go to church. Obey God. Give offering wherever I was. And don't forget home. Send my tithe home. Because I'm coming back. Right? So I'm going to close here at this moment. God gives us the power to have funds come to us. So I'm not finished with this. I'll finish this off as I go along the way. So don't forget God. Say, I won't. In Deuteronomy 28:18, he said, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that gives you the power or the ability to get wealth. Why? That He may establish His covenant, which He swore to the fathers as it is today. In other words, that God gives you wealth so that you can establish a covenant and establish what He wants to do in His work. Exodus 12:36, the Lord caused the Egyptians to look favorably upon the Israelites, and they gave Israelites whatever they asked for, so they stripped the Egyptians of the wealth. That's the story there. That's another story you need to look at. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father, thank you this evening for the Word of God. We thank you that we've given the Word strongly and took time and studied. We give you praise for what we're doing tonight. And so we turn to you. Let's go ahead and stand up.